I say hallelujah. There are several seasons that come that will need the services of wise men to give us perspective. Hallelujah. We need wise men that will not judge after the sight of their eyes or the hearing of their ears. Men that are quickened by God and quickened into His wisdom. We are trying to gain direction on the feet of the Lord this weekend. And I would like us to pray for yourself, that the understanding that we seek, that it will come to you as an individual. Let us pray and ask Him that understanding. The nation is in need of understanding right now. As it applies to you, you want to ask the Lord that such an understanding will come to you. Talk to Him quietly as we navigate this weekend, that the Holy Spirit will set the coordinates for our adventure, and that He will grant everybody strategic understanding as to how to function accurately in this perilous season. We call upon Your name, O God. We ask, Lord, that You quicken wisdom into us. We ask, Lord, that You grant unto us direction, for we are Your people and the sheep of Your pasture. We ask for Your intervention. We ask for Your wisdom. We ask for Your help. Thank You, great King. Thank You, Father. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. We turn to our stronghold in this season of distress, where the church is subjected to so much pressure. And we call and invoke the covenant that our fathers in the spirit and in the faith have established with thee, that salvation might come from Zion. As we turn to You, we ask that You grant us answers that will set our feet in motion and put us in perspective. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Acts of the Apostles, chapter 21. We'll begin from there. Acts chapter 21. And because it's the first time we are meeting for the year 2017, it will be customary for you to wish somebody Happy New Year. At least let's start on a lighter note. Amen. You probably might be seeing that person for the first time this year. So, you can exchange some pleasantries before we take the flight. May the year be good. May the year come with the packages of answers to all of your requests. Amen. And may it come to pass that though 1,000 may fall by your side, that no evil will come near thee. Amen. In the name of Jesus Christ. The pestilence that walketh in darkness, or the arrow that flieth by noonday, will mysteriously miss your address.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ. All right. We are in Acts chapter 21 from verse 31. And as they went about to kill him, tidings came unto the chief captain of the band and to all that all Jerusalem was in an uproar, who immediately took soldiers and centurions and ran down unto them. And when they saw the chief captain of the soldiers, they left beating of Paul. Then the captain came near and took him and commanded him to be bound with chains and demanded who he was and what he had done. Now, you know, there's a question here. He came and met a situation of turmoil. Hallelujah. In the midst of the controversy, he was trying to find out who is this guy? Hallelujah. And what is all this about? So he was trying to get some answers, just like we are trying to get answers at the current time. He demanded who he was and what he had done. Verse 34 is my emphasis. Verse 34 says, and some cried. This is the answer. The question was directed at the public. Hallelujah. The question was what? Directed at the crowd. The crowd were active that day. And the events of that day were surrounded around this personality called Paul the Apostle. And so the guy wanted to get some feedback from the people that were engaged in the activity. So he decided to pass a questionnaire to the crowd. They were so active, they were so violent. At least they should know the reason for the violence. All right? They were so involved. So many people were partaking in bringing affliction to Paul in that particular scene. And so the guy came and he was not part of the event from when he started. He wanted to be educated a little bit about the necessity for the uproar. And he wanted to know who Paul was, because he was in the center of the drama. And he also wanted to know what he had done. Now verse 34 is the response. He was asking, this crowd was part of the action. And he directed this question. And in verse 34, the Bible says, some cried one thing, some another, among the multitude. At the end of the day, if you read towards the end, and when he could not know the certainty for the tumult, it means that a lot of people were part of that activity. They were active in it. They were partakers in it. But he could not get the accurate reason for which they were doing what they were doing from the people that were partaking in the action. Now, when you begin to notice that there's a lot of news. Now, this kind of uproar. Are you still with me? Stay with me. Stay with me. We are going far today. This kind of uproar. This is what will appear on the newspaper. Sun, daily sun, and this day, that there is uproar. Now, I'm trying to make you understand that you cannot get the real insight of the matter by just observing it from the perspective of the print media, the perspective of the telemedia. In recent times, you have come to see how that even CNN doesn't carry accurate news. And we are totally disappointed in mainstream media at the moment. Now, this kind of information is the information that reaches the media. You say, one said one thing, another said something else. The guy could not get the certainty of the matter from the crowd. The fact that you were part of a particular situation doesn't mean you know the meaning for the situation. If we want to tap into the meaning of a particular activity and event, the meaning of of a couple of assortment of activities that is beginning to catch media attention. We don't go to the journalist for inquiries. We go to God to bring perspective to that situation. Now, at any point in time where we become products of our persuasions, our perspective, our philosophies fed by media, we are falling. Hallelujah. Let us do Bible study. The Bible study is prophetic. We are trying to interpret what is happening. And it will take us many days to finish our interpretation. But at least we will start. Let's begin from the book of Acts of the Apostles. We are trying to interpret what is happening in Nigeria now from the perspective of God. At least there are a few integers that we can detect from our current situation in the body of Christ. We can detect things like persecution. Are we in doubt of that? Okay, there's persecution. There's an attempt to wipe out the church. There's an attempt to suppress ministers that are vocal, that are saying the truth about the thing that is happening in the nation. At least we got that one from the stories that we have gathered around. But we want to find out from God's perspective. What I discovered that is going on now is what I want to share with you. Isaiah chapter 66 from verse 8. Isaiah 66 from verse 8. We are going to go gradually. And as we begin to go, your understanding will be fruitful. However, I will prophesy through the scriptures I am reading and what I am saying, but I will not prophesy the way you expect. But what I'm doing is prophecy. You see, the counsel of God or the Spirit of God does not operate outside of the Logos. So if the Spirit of God gives a revelation position, you can use the Logos to present it without having to say, this is what God is saying. That's the kind of prophecy. And the reason why I'm doing it is obvious. This time, it's obvious. Who had heard such a thing? Who had seen such things? Shall the earth be made to bring forth in one day? Or shall a nation be born at once? For as soon as Zion travailed, she brought forth her children. Hallelujah. Now, I would like us to capture the questions entangled with this verse of scripture. First is what? Who has heard such things? Who has seen such things? It means these things are things that were not formally heard. These things are things that were not formally seen. Hallelujah. However, the intent of the things that were not heard and the things that were not seen affected Zion directly. Hallelujah. Now, we were not told the things, neither were we told the things that were heard, we were not told the things that were seen, but we know that whatever they were things that affected Zion directly. And the expectation of heaven concerning Zion in view of those things was that at some point Zion should travail. There are many things that God cannot push us into except there is a corporate travail. A quorum has to be formed in a particular territory in some cases and in some matters that border upon the destiny of the corporate persona of a nation. A quorum has to be formed in order for God to move. And most times the quorum is almost always not available. We know that there are some Christians in the body of Christ that are into prayers as a duty, as a ministry. They have realized that part and parcel of our service line that believers need to make available so that God can have the right of way to implement his policies upon the face of the earth is the ministry of intercession. And some believers have come to that knowledge that our responsibility is intercession. But unfortunately, not so many believers in the body of Christ subscribe to that philosophy. And if God needs a quorum before he can act, for instance, in the wedding of Cana of Galilee, Jesus made a statement. Are you still with me? Please stay with me. Jesus made a statement when Mary told him about the situation of the feast. What was his response? He said, "Woman, my hour is not yet come." Think about it. Now, does that statement mean that, is it the same with no? Okay. You know, eventually in that story, Jesus intervened in that matter. So, did Jesus violate the authority of the Father that set his time in order for him to perform that thing? What exactly was the limitation that Jesus had of which he spoke about by saying what? My hour. Is it a time-based deficiency? Was it a time-based restriction that was placed upon him? If it was a time-based restriction, Jesus wouldn't have performed that miracle. So it was not a time-based restriction. Because eventually the thing that he was looking for that will qualify him to begin to act actually came to pass. That was why he was saddled with the responsibility to perform. Are you with me? Now, so it was not a time-based restriction. It was a quorum-based restriction. Now, I need to tell you something. Quorum. In the Old Testament, the law of Moses, it is established that at the mouth of two or three witnesses, every matter shall be what? Established. That means, in cases of justice, judgment, and equity, until we can get at least two, the position is not yet valid. So, for the purpose of justice, judgment, and equity, for the purpose of witness, it will take a minimum of two to form a quorum that is fitting with that constitution in order for proceedings to advance. Are you still with me? You are not here. Now, so, as even if the magistrate is seated and the quorum of witness is not met, we cannot proceed with that prayer. So, the limitation we are talking about is a quorum-based limitation, not a time-based limitation. So Mary knew that it was a quorum-based limitation. So Mary now came to the servants and said, "Whatsoever he says you should do, do it." When the servants came and Jesus counted, according to the measurement of the sanctuary in heaven, the number became complete. That was why Jesus now went into action. Are you with me? You are not here. There are some things that God will never do in a particular territory until there is sufficient quorum. Oh my God. Okay. I'm taking you. In the National Assembly, in House of Rep, how many representatives must be present in order for the quorum to be met? There is a quorum. Anytime legislative business is done, there is a quorum that will gather that legislative business can begin. And if that quorum is not met, then we have to break camp because they have not fulfilled the stature in terms of number, for them to carry out their statutory assignment. I don't know the politics. I don't know. Political scientists, you can help me with the figures. How many senators can gather in the red chamber before legislative business can begin? 2/3 majority. So Jesus was waiting for quorum. So there are territorial issues require quorum on different levels. It doesn't take God. Time is not one of the factors of production in spiritual work. Think about it. It doesn't take God eternity to do something eternal. Think about it for some time as we go on in this journey. Time was not the limitation Jesus had. It was quorum-based limitation. My hour has not yet come. Because the quorum that will activate me, animate me, has not yet gathered. So if I begin to operate now, it will be contrary to the justice system of heaven. Are you with me? You are not with me. On the day of Pentecost, Jesus said they should go and tarry and wait in Jerusalem so that he will send the promise that will come from the Father. Historical perspective gathered that they had to tarry in God's presence for 10 days in order for that to come out. The day of Pentecost was the 10th day of their prayer, according to historical perspective. But does it really take God time to walk? It took him quorum. It took 10 days for the right quorum to be formed so that heaven can now respond. So one of the mysteries in the operations of God territorially is that there has to be a quorum upon the face of the earth which will form a sufficient witness that the court of heaven can recognize before God begins to act. If you are the only intercessor in your house, your household, deliverance is not in sight. Because there are several times that God will need about 5 people as the minimum statutory quorum before he can begin to open another page concerning that family. You can, don't be proud of being a lone ranger. There's no glory in it. May the Lord grant you understanding. There are several courts. I will show you things this weekend. There are several courts in heaven you cannot ascend into those courts that are in the individual. They don't recognize individuals. They only recognize corporate personas. That's the court that the prayers of Nigeria comes as a prayer of one man, as a corporate man in a particular nation. And sometimes, in order for God to be able to actualize the needed minimum quorum requirement to prosecute a particular thing and to open another page, he will have to allow some travail. Now, okay, let's look at, before we talk about the church as a body, we need to talk about you as a believer, me as a believer. You see, when you give your life to Christ, what happened was that the Spirit of God began to tabernacle in you. And then the Spirit of God became your support system. The Spirit of God became the basis upon which all the limitations of your humanity are helped. So you can transact, you can transmit, you can operate beyond the capacity of your humanity because you have a backup system that takes you beyond the limitations of the flesh. And that's why in your natural abilities, you only attain to your least potential. It's in your supernatural abilities, furnished by the Holy Spirit, that you attain to your greatest potential. You don't know your possibility until you know the Holy Spirit. Because you are completed in the Holy Spirit. You were created naturally limited. Deliberately disadvantaged. So that you will find completion in the person of the Holy Spirit. Now, is that true? Are you with me? That is what we call the gospel of the victory of Christ. How that the Holy Spirit that is tabernacled in you becomes your helper, your support system. You know, somebody was asking a question on Facebook the other day, and he said, what's the Holy Spirit's perspective about Champions League? No, don't laugh, don't laugh. If you don't have anything to say, don't laugh. Just keep quiet. Because you want to go religious. The Holy Ghost, the problem the Holy Spirit has, is that we get involved in something, we don't carry him along. Yes. We don't like to hear his own opinion about the matter. That's why it's a mystery. What is the Holy Spirit? It means the person entered, he became a lover of Champions League without the Holy Ghost. That means he has found something he's liking that it was not the Holy Spirit that introduced him to. Meanwhile, the Holy Spirit wants to partake and participate in every area of your existence. As you are going to work, you take him to work. And right there in the office, challenges will come up. You will need his inspiration too. See, it's not holiday Holy Ghost we are talking about. We are talking about a day-to-day Holy Spirit walk with God. Because he supplies what we are insufficient of as we depend on him and walk with him and move with him consistently. We get to know Jesus on the field of activity, not in the bedroom. Every name the immortal was given was a name that was gotten from an intervention that was coupled in the daily life of the individual. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. That guy has received dealings from God and directives from God and direction from God, so much so that he just gets by. It doesn't matter whether there is recession or there is depression, or he's just getting by because there is someone that is leading him in his daily life and showing him how to navigate. And at the end of the day, he looks back and finds that he is always led towards pasture. So he gave him that name, the shepherd, as a name that represents the operation of the Holy Spirit in his life, the shepherd. Meanwhile, according to New Testament theology, drawing my reference from the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30 and 31, the design of God is that the Holy Spirit, Christ in us, because it's the Holy Spirit that is occupying the office of Christ in our hearts and bringing the dividend of that office to us. Everything that Jesus paid for and prayed for is being transmitted into our lives and made available so that we have access to all sufficiency by the grace of God. That's the gospel of victory in Christ Jesus. We have a support system in our universe that is the basis upon which we walk with victory. And so the Bible says, thanks be to God who always, what? Causes us to what? To triumph. Now, that's the story of a Christian. Now, you see, this is the good part. I know you like this one. I was supposed to hear glory somewhere, hallelujah. This is the good part. There's another part to this matter. And that part, believers don't like it. But I have to bring it quickly. The part that actually reveals the capacity of that spirit that we reveal, that we received. According to the book of Revelation, there is an additional insight that John gives us during the seasons of the intensification. Now, forget about my theological words. What I'm saying is simple. Right? Now, we have the inclusion, the ministry of Christ there. We have the incarnation when Jesus came as the embodiment of God in order for him to fulfill the judicial salvation and to satisfy the claims of divine justice. That's the incarnation. The incarnation is the mystery of godliness, how that God became tabernacled in man and God manifested all his divine attributes through human virtues. It's a mystery. That's incarnation. That's the first part of the mystery of Christ, or the ministry of Christ. The second part of the ministry of Christ is the inclusion, where we became, you know, he was an individual. But in the inclusion, we were added to him by an act of the sovereignty of God. And that's what took place on the cross. We were included in him on the cross so that everything God did to him, God did to us. It became a common destiny and a common union when we were included in him. Hallelujah. A Christian doesn't really have a past. You used to climb Gongoro. You used to do this. You were a tout in the park. All those things were deleted the day you gave your life to Christ. According to the scriptures, the only thing that is remembered about you was that you were backdated to the cross. That's where your origin began. where you lost touch with the old creation and then came into the reality of the new creation. And the devil will want you to build your philosophy on past things. But when Paul spoke to us, Paul said, all things are yours. Whether there be Paul, whether there be Apollos, whether there be things present, whether there be things to come. Paul never mentioned the past is not yours. Hallelujah. So that's the inclusion. On the account, you are not following me. You guys are not. It's a long journey. We need a lot of truth to gather truth, plenty of truth, before we can now navigate. You will not see. This thing we touch. See the application. In the inclusion, hallelujah, we became part and parcel of Christ. We now share common union. That's where the philosophy of we being part of his body came from. It's the cross. When Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you, he was not going to heaven. Where was he going to? The cross. It was at the cross that the inclusion took place. I don't have time to press it. I just want to pass by today. Today I want to pass by because that's not where I'm headed. He was going to the cross, not going to heaven. In my father's house, there are many men. He was the only father's house. He was his father's house. There are many men abodes. I go to prepare a place for you. He was going to the cross so that the inclusion can take place. You can be part of him so that where he is, there you will be also. He was talking about the mystical union between Christ and the church. The highest, purest level of love and intimacy that could ever exist between the spirit realm and participants that have a spirit but yet represented in this frame of reference called time. The operating system and the motivation of every believer should be love and intimacy and not terror. That's what he was trying to make us understand. So, go back and change your theology. It was not heaven, it was going to. Where was he going to? The cross. So that the inclusion can take place. And then people like Paul that understood the mystery that God was unveiling now began to teach from that perspective. He could now understand that we are one body, but the perspective that God has is not cloning. We are not eventually going to turn out the same because God will be glorified when he coordinates our diversity. It's only God is a God of diversity. That's why it's difficult to pastor if you don't know God. You will clone them and make them like you. Make them talk like you. Even shave their hair like you. You are raising a cult. Because I know you won't like that. If that were the topic, would have zeroed in on it, you would have come to the realization. But we don't have time now. You raise a cult, and people will look like you instead of looking like Jesus. Jesus has diverse expressions. And in order to confirm that, you will notice that the offices that are actually a division of his dimensions, so that his dimensions can be understood. 5 offices were established. All those offices are him in expression, but he had to be segregated like that so that we can relate with it, that immortal reality, from the standpoint of our mind and know what is happening when the unction from those realms and dimensions begin to activate us, animate us, and propel us. God can handle diversity. It's only Satan that cannot handle diversity. So he categorizes men in blocks, in bunches, and in clubs. And he makes them look alike. He gives them one type of temptation. Gives them one kind of struggle. And one kind of outcome. But God can work with diversity. You will now discover that even you and your wife, as much as you have worked together, you are so different. And the more you walk, you now see that you are more different. So when you begin to mature a little, you begin to allow people to be. It's only immature people that say, hey, play the bass guitar. He wants to control the bass guitar, control the keyboard, control the sound. Say, body. You see, I've missed my message now. Laitomasile kemboro sama yakoma sendo. Now, so that's the inclusion. Did it get you to that point? But in the book of Revelation, there was a different protocol that was initiated. In the book of Revelation, the church was under attack. You know, Paul prophesied. He said he is aware that when he departs, that wolves will come. Ravenous wolves. They will not spare the flock. True to his words, his prophecies came to pass. And the devil came and invaded the body of Christ, so much so that she became deformed. And that's why God allowed only one of the apostles to die a natural death. He kept John alive as a benchmark, a plumb line. And he gave to him the revelation of the original, because the church at that time was working with duplicates. The person of the Holy Spirit as captured in the revelation of John in the book of Revelation was a bit different from what we saw in his Gospels. At this time he had deeper insight. I know you are quiet. It's not time to be quiet. The time for quietness is still coming. Hallelujah. He gave us some deeper insight, and he was the one that spoke about the seven spirits of God. He was not talking about seven spirits, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. If you don't understand the order of life, some metaphors in the scripture will be difficult for you to perceive. And that's why we set up a WhatsApp platform for Bible study. And I saw that the guys on the platform were very, very wonderful theologians and intellectuals. Their mental handling of scripture was loud, boisterous. Hallelujah. But you see, the scriptures were not meant for the mind. The incubation theater of the scriptures is in the spirit. It is when you have incubated and there's illumination that your mind can be brought into the economy. Jesus was the one that said, flesh and blood did not reveal this to you. Because he's aware that there are some revelations cooked up in the realm of flesh and blood. Those ones do not have redemptive capacity. And unfortunately, in our day, the church is used to mental kind of revelation. The type that you need a key holder to take home. Because it comes with key number one, key number two. Check, the last time the devil oppressed you, he did not come with a key. Came like a flood. Your mind will be suspended. you are not ready for the real world yet. My brother was testifying how that the pole wire cable from the pole fell on his car, and unfortunately for him, there was no battery inside. If there were a battery, there would have been conduction. That electrolyte in the battery would have given off some life, and you would have seen disco. Hallelujah. Disco light. Hallelujah. But you see, the Holy Ghost will arrange before time that battery should not be in the car. You can't be that wise. How can you plan for pole wire with key number one? May the Lord grant us understanding. We have been running a rat race. The day of our redemption has come, and that's why we need to speak as men. In the days of the intensification, Christianity was about to die. The core of our faith was compromised. The churches were existing like amorphous entities, shapeless in the territory. And from the perspective of that book, each church was supposed to be a lampstand, bearing the witness of Christ within the territory. The church should become the reference point. The world should come and learn from us. The church should be pedestaled. The church should be influential. The church should be taller than all the other mountains, so that nations can what? Can flow into. But the reverse was the case. And And so John had to be spared. The rest of the apostles died as martyrs for their faith. But John had to be spared because he was going to be a witness. And that was how his revelatory visions came. He said the reason for which you were spared was because you are going to write a book. That book is not the type of book that is on every shelf in the library. It's a book that bears witness to my workings in the past. It's a book that gives perspective to my workings in the present. It's a book that gives insight to my workings in the times to come. No man has ever written such a book. He said, that's why I kept you. So write the things which thou hast seen in them. That's past. The things which are, that's present. And the things which shall be thereafter. That's what? Future. It was like that book was going to be a gangway that connects far past into far future. It's a writing for wise men. It was in the crucible of that book that he mentioned something strange. Because he brought greetings to us, just like every normal apostle. When he wants to talk, he greets. But the guy's greeting was a bit different from the normal salutation that an apostle will give. Let us do Revelation chapter 1. Let me show you his greeting. When a man greets like this, then you know he's from another place. The church of today, the church of this age and time, will not welcome a man that brings this kind of salutation. Apostle, why? Now, check the salutation that our brother brought. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John. Next verse. Who bore record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. Next verse. Blessed is he that readeth and they that hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. Next verse. John. This is salutation time. You know? Salutation time has started. He said, just in case you are confused, the guy speaking is John. I know my tone has changed. My presentation has changed. And the dimension from whence I see has also changed. But there's something that did not change. It's still John. Still John. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is, which was, and which is to come. And then what? From the seven spirits. This is still in salutation mode. Now, if somebody comes to church today, he said, because this guy was bringing greetings from heaven to the churches. He was not talking from here, he was talking from the vista. He said, I'm coming from glory. And I bring greetings to the seven churches in Asia. I bring greetings from the seven spirits of God that are before the throne of the immortal. This is not a normal kind of salutation. This is not a Sunday service. You will find out how different the proceedings in heaven are when you have an encounter of glory. You will not like the church of this generation. And so men like John, who are witnesses, have to be preserved to bring perspective to the ears of them that still have a desire to hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. Their voice will not be accepted. Their voice may not look so popular, but they hold the perspective of the Spirit of God. And in the politics of heaven, majority does not carry the vote. Hallelujah. When God wants to fight, when he wants to judge, he doesn't take sides with men. He takes sides with his will. Majority is the man that is aligned with the will of God. We are not called to popularity. We are not called to advertisement. We are called to align with the will of God in our generation. For the Bible reveals concerning David that he served the will of God according to the will of God, and he slept. There's no need for another day to draw breath when the will of God has been furnished. That's why we came.
We were seeds of eternity, short to into time to serve the will of God. Now, so this guy was bringing revelation from heaven. And from his revelation, he sees something strange from the seven spirits of God. And before his throne. Hallelujah. That's an insight. Then we begin to realize. We begin to realize that the dreadlocks, you know, the instruction that came to Samson's parents about the consecration of the Nazarite that the young man will be subjected to in order for him to be qualified to become a destination for the anointing that will galvanize him in destiny. When they subjected him to that consecration, he had seven locks. And those seven locks were representative of what John was uncovering. There are several things that God will hide until the time when that revelation is required. Then he brings it to lamplight so that people can drink into a particular operation in him to be able to contend with the darkness of their day. God has spoken and given many, many signs about this dimension. But you see, what exactly the seven spirits of God mean? We have the gospel according to numerals. What does seven mean? Complete. Completion. Perfection. All of that can go. Are you with me? Now, so that seven spirits of God is actually, we can put it more friendly as sevenfold intensity of the Holy Spirit. I explain. Stay with me. Now, there is a reason why this revelation came. You know, in the incarnation, there was no need for this revelation. In the inclusion, there was no need for this revelation. But when Christianity was suffering defeat, then this revelation came from the archive. It was during the era of the intensification. God needs to intensify his operations among the believers so that the church can be restored from the havoc that Satan had launched, that this revelation was required. Hallelujah. Now, let me give you an insight. I did my youth service in Kano, and in the days when I served, it was the days of the Kano riot, and so many people were killed and slaughtered. In fact, while I was in Kano, the only way to survive was that we lived by fasting and prayer, so that we would be very pliable in the hands of the Holy Spirit, and we'll follow his leading. That was how we survived. And you know, are you with me? So I now went to visit my sister in Abuja. Her and her husband were staying in government apartment. They had a cook. The house, government paid cook. The house was furnished. In fact, the walkway had a rug. So they don't want you to step on normal ground. Glory. But you know what? They were dead spiritually. Their level of intensity was local level. But I was coming from the desert, exposed to warfare. We had to fast to survive. We had to pray to survive. And when I came for weekend, I knew we were not the same. What was the difference? I was operating on a higher level of intensity. Now, I'm taking you somewhere. You see, there is no challenge you pass through that there will not be an intensity of Christ within you to match that challenge. That's what I'm trying to explain. If it's a day where killing is the order of the day, there is an intensity in the spirit that will give us the capacity to survive. Oh, if it is a time where women are naked on the street, there's a level of intensity that will give us the capacity to be Christian, bona fide Christians, as prescribed by men like Paul, even in the midst of that darkness. So there is no darkness that you can throw at us that is expected to cripple us, because the spirit we have has varying levels of intensity. When you hear stories of revival and you hear of things that men did under the influence of the Holy Ghost, and you wonder, were these guys normal men? That was why the testimony of Elijah was added in scripture. that Elijah was what? A man of like.
If they had added
an angel of like passion, maybe he would have. You know why it looks strange? Because it was prosecuted by another level of intensity that we don't know any longer. People whose prayers regulated the ecosystem, the elements. People whose feet could part waters and rivers. These things are capable in Christ Jesus, but they are domiciled in several levels of intensity. And it is in the book of Revelation that John now disclosed it, that there are seven layers of what? Intensity. You still remember when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were cast into the furnace? What was the instruction they were given? They should increase the intensity of the fire. What seven? Were there seven furnaces?
No.
One furnace that has the capacity to have various levels of what? Of intensity. Now, there is a level of intensity that we need. Are you with me? There are two variables in that scripture I read in the book of Isaiah. Because I've not left it. I did all this talk. Well, give me my scripture. I'm trying. 66. Verse 8. So let's come. With this knowledge now, let's come back. The knowledge I wanted us to glean was to, it's just like a software on your phone. You need to update it. When they publish a new update on the software, you download it. And then you have more functions. So the reason for which we need to be doing Bible study is update. Okay, let's get back to the scripture. It said, who had heard such things? Who had seen such things? Shall the earth be made to bring forth in one day? Or shall a nation be born at once? For soon as Zion traveled, he brought forth her children. Two variables. The first variable is the variable of quorum. Quorum. Yes, there are some people that are traveling, but in order for God to prosecute a territorial mystery, he will need a quorum that will justify that activity from the court of heaven. So, because believers, you know, see my people in Abuja at that time, AC everywhere. What do you expect? Spiritual life had gone now. That is not supposed to be the case because I have AC in my house now. But in the midst of the AC, I can't sleep because the body, the intensity. If the environment can regulate you, you are not one of the saviors that we are expecting from Zion. When we go to preach, they put us in hotels. Most times we don't sleep because you are trying to what? Get the mind of God. That's the reason why you are there. That's why we are men of God. It's to bring the counsel of God to territories, to regions, to men. Whereas the place is wonderful, everything good. It is only good enough for a man of God to seek God. Alright? There is no other reason why we are there. We are there to what? To connect. So we didn't notice that the bed was soft. But if you notice all those things, it means you were regulated by the environment. We are regulated by intensity, not by environment. So if God had been trying to get us to advance to another level of intensity so that another page can open. Corporately, I'm talking about a corporate persona, a nation, the church in a nation, the witness of the church in a nation is deficient for God to open the next page. He allows a situation that generates a travail so that he can have sufficient quorum that will make him righteous in the court of heaven to open the next page concerning that land. That's number one. Number two, when the church begins to travail like that, what is happening is that there's also a level of intensity that is required in that land that will orchestrate God's movement. Quorum and what? Intensity. It's not as if God is a bully. He is not given to child abuse. But the laws of the kingdom are steadfast. They are cast in eternal reality. There must be travail from the earth before God can heal a land. Have you seen that scripture that says, if my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray? But you know, we don't obey that scripture corporately. The church in Port Harcourt believes that they are prosperous. So it means that the prayers they prayed yesterday, God answered it. So they are booming in breakthrough right now. They're labeled and now they are in rest. Glory to God. So they cannot identify with a church in the middle belt that is under fire. They'll say, okay, the middle belt church is going through their own time, their own travail. You see, you will not be able to get a quorum with these divergent kinds of thinking. And so sometimes God allows some pressure to come upon the body of Christ. But that's not the best way for him to get what he wants. But at, you know, there are times where there is no other way. So some pressure. But the, you know, what this day will pick is different from what we should understand. This day will say that this thing is happening, that thing is happening. As terrible as the thing is, we must understand the meaning of the event beyond the story.
Well, may the Lord help us in the name of Jesus.
Are you aware that the devil does some things? Like even in your family, he is responsible for some things. Now, our verdict about what is happening on the family level, the clan level, the state level, the national level, our verdict about what is happening is not based on orchestrations. You see, the devil most times is the one responsible for the orchestrations. Do you understand what I'm talking about? We will have to have an insight into the situation that is deeper than what this day is speaking. If we don't have a deeper insight, it means that we ourselves are falling. So we have to go beyond what the newspapers are carrying. What exactly is the mind of God concerning what is happening today? Hallelujah. Alright, so you see, there are two variables there. A quorum will have to be gathered that is sufficient representative for the territory. Alright? And then there's an intensity level. It's not just when the quorum gathers that heaven releases. You know, on the day of Pentecost, they had gone 10 days. As they continued in the prayer, I guess a lot of other believers that have backslided in the place of prayer started coming to join in, and then they formed a physical quorum, which is a number-based quorum. And then as the number-based quorum was satisfied, then the intensity-based quorum will also have to be satisfied. And it took them 10 days to hit that mark. And the moment they hit the mark, the Holy Ghost came out of heaven. So you will know that there are some regulations taking place overhead. And when we meet up with the demands taking place overhead, then the next chapter now opens. And then that situation that led us to the travail will be handled by God himself. That's how God works. Are you still here? All right. But don't forget what the scripture says. Don't forget it. Please take note. What did he say? As soon as Zion travailed. What happens? That's what I want to explain. Because that is a parable. This scripture is the parable that will be playing out in 2017. This is the scripture. This is the parable that will be playing out. As soon as Zion travails, he brought forth her children. Let's explain further. Acts of the Apostles, chapter 11. We'll explain further. Acts of the Apostles, chapter 11. Please help me tell your neighbor, we need to go beyond the face value report. We need to go beyond channels television. We need to go beyond AIT. And we need to hear the voice of God. It is true that terrible things are going on right now. But terrible things will move us to seek the face of God to find out God's perspective. That's where wisdom is. Alright. Acts of the Apostles, chapter 11. Are you there? We'll begin our reading from verse 19. Acts 11:19.
Now, there which were scattered abroad upon the persecution. Now, what is going on here? It's persecution. Now, this is the news that this day and channel speak. Alright? This is the news that was on AIT and on, what's that? Lagos-based television. TVC. This is what came on AIT. This is what came on CNN. Now, there which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen traveled as far as Phoenix and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but unto the Jews only. Now, so this is what CNN picked, that the Christians were scattered. As they were scattered, they saw some of them with Bible and tract. Carrying their load, they will stop and be saying something. CNN, they don't know what they are saying. Hallelujah. They don't know, but their journey is not a straight journey. They will move small and stop and begin to say something. So what happened was that as they were scattered and they were going, they were preaching the word of God. Hallelujah. Alright, next verse. And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. Go on. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. As soon as Zion traveled, he brought forth. A revival will not just start until there's persecution. Zion will travel. Terrible things will happen that will make people call on God to come and fight. As long as God can get the level of intensity that is expecting from the quorum, he opens another page of civilization, another page of spirit civilization to the people. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned to the Lord. Next verse. Then tidings of these things came to the ears of the church which was in Jerusalem, and they sent forth Barnabas that he should go as far as Antioch. Now, Barnabas was an emissary that was sent from the Jerusalem church, because this news that was heard about the impact of the church as they fled on the strength of persecution, this news that they heard, this feedback they heard, there was more intensity about this feedback in the city called Antioch. And so they deployed an emissary from Jerusalem to go check out Antioch, what exactly was happening in that city. Hallelujah. Now, we'll go further. Are you with me? Can we now jump to verse 27 and verse 28? Still Acts chapter 11. Now we jump to 27. Now, you see, this aspect I want to read to us was not captured by this day. The news did not have understanding enough to be able to pick the riddle that was in this aspect. Oh my God. I chose the book of Acts because the graphic layout of the prototype of our current situation is captured in the book of Acts. In Acts chapter 11, verse 27, the Bible says, and in those days came prophets from Jerusalem unto Antioch. Notice that the first group of people that the Bible spoke about, what was their motivation for going? Persecution. Hallelujah. Persecution was what? The motivation that they had from fleeing Jerusalem. Jerusalem was no longer a safe place. So they were going, and the thing that baffled the devil was that the impact of Christ had entered into those people so much that even though they were fleeing Jerusalem because the safety situation was compromised, there was so much of Christ that they could not but speak about Christ. I know the devil didn't like that. If he had his way, he would have called off the persecution because of what he was seeing that was happening. Meanwhile, the major damage had not yet begun.
They were preaching. People were giving their life to Christ. If the devil had his way, he would have called off the persecution, but it was already set in motion. The devil can release demons and bring sickness. He can do some things. He's not almighty. Alright? Now, so in addition to the people that went motivated by persecution, there was another set of people. Go back to 27. And in these days came prophets from Jerusalem to Antioch. These guys were not driven by persecution. These guys were driven, that's why their identity was mentioned. These guys were propelled by divine direction and instruction. You see, they were segregated from the first category of people that fled. Those ones, it was because of the persecution. This group of prophets were an hidden intercessory clique that were hidden in the city of Jerusalem, managing the territorial issues of the land. We were never told they existed until the time of crisis. There are several things taking place in the body of Christ now. We don't know it is existing, but this crisis is about to release it. You see, as soon as Zion travels, there is a delivery. Some people have been in, you know, when a child is in the womb, the child is in hiding. It's not that the child is not there. The child is there. But the child is where? In hiding. It was a time of persecution. The persecution was the travail of the church. It engendered travail. It engendered prayers. It engendered pressure upon heaven. And then what did heaven do? This hidden child, a band of prophets hidden in Jerusalem, doing some things in the cave, laboring in the cave. That was the child that was called out of hiding to go into lamplight in a day of trouble. This was the real event that was unleashed. It will take a quorum. Are you with me? You are not here. You are not. Kai, I'm speaking in parables. It will take a quorum. Of territorial intercession to unleash that fold. That fold will be kept under lock and key during primary territorial intercessory work. They will be kept there until a time comes when Zion now travails. Then God will release that joker. Every time Zion travails, she brings forth. She brings forth her children. So those guys, they were being equipped by the Holy Ghost in a place that was not known. Their names were not part of the eldership of the church. At the time of which we speak, the church in Jerusalem had encountered so many infiltrations such that it was difficult to separate between Christianity and Judaism in the city of Jerusalem. This prophet saw the shift from the pulpit, but they did not fight the leadership. What they did was that they went into hiding and they began to make supplication. They began to make intercession. They were largely unknown people. Nobody ever heard the name of Agabus until the terrible day of travail came. When that travail began to intensify, a particular point of intensity was reached where there was an instruction. So these guys came out not because there was chaos. They came out because there was an instruction. Now, so CNN will not be able to differentiate between the people joining by persecution and the people joining by instruction. There are two activities that are happening simultaneously. But the strange hand of God, from this scripture, you might call it chaos, but God will call it a ladder. The ladder for the company of prophets to climb out was crisis. It takes travail for the man child to come. It takes travail, it takes some kind of pressure. But meanwhile, they are exercising themselves underground, building capacity. Begin to pray for the territory, for the nation, Nobody knows what is happening. The big wigs and the politicians are still running their own thing. Doing that. Then a time comes when Zion is pressurized and Zion decides to cry. And in the midst of that cry, God now releases. Are you following the drama? As soon as I am, shall be. She brought forth. Now, let's go back to that scripture. 28. Verse 28. And there stood up one of them named Agabus. Now, the guy came out of hiding after many years of incubation. The first prophecy he gave was fully territorial. He captured the entire region. Now, where did he get the structure and the capacity and the ranking to hold that scope, that coverage, that scope of territory? He held it under his prophetic gaze. Where did he get that stature? He was still in the womb, in the preparatory stage. He took a travail of the body for God to bring out a joker that he had been preparing without the knowledge of so many people. And there stood one of them named Agabus, and signified by the Spirit that there should be a great dearth throughout all the world, which came to pass in the days of Claudius Caesar. From the cave, he didn't come from school of international relations. He didn't go to Harvard, Oxford, to learn international politics. He was not a career diplomat. He came out of the cave and gave a prophecy that there is an event. The world is about to see another dimension of the display of the mystery of Christ, I tell you. The day he prophesied, it doesn't matter where he prophesied it, whether CNN came to cover the prophecy, but the impact of the utterance began to affect the land, just like Elijah. It doesn't matter whether CNN is aware that the prophet prophesied, but he cried from Carmel, I hear the sound of an abundance of rain. CNN will weep because they were not there. Because they will hear that there was a man that cried. He was a rainmaker. He was the one that broke the backbone of 3 years, 3.5 years of rainlessness in the land. And CNN would have wished. And you know, when they asked for the man's name, they called him what? Elijah the Tishbite. And in the then world, there was no village called Tishbe. It was not a territory. The word Tishbite means a messenger. He was known not by his father's name, not by the name of his village, or his grandmother. He was known by a message. Everywhere he went, he left a message. And it was by that message he was called. It took a travail for such a man to come out. Where he was raised, we were not told. It was as if his past was totally cut off. Until the day he came to give a national message. And his message received the response of rain. That was how sons were born. They came, and they are normally released in a time of trouble when Zion begins to travail. A new species of people coming upon the scene that will change the paradigm. Just like John the Baptist. He was in the wilderness. The location was not told us effectively. But it came to pass after 24 years in the wilderness that the Bible reveals that the word of the Lord came to John the Baptist. Where? In the wilderness. That word that came to him came to release him into another chapter, another era. He was God's response to the situation of decadence that had taken place in the land. And what God was going to perform, he was going to perform through such a personality that was symbolic of that which had been born out of Zion. Hallelujah. Now, so this guy came out of hiding, and the first thing he prosecuted was that he signified that there will be famine throughout the land. And the Bible says that it came to pass in the days of Claudius Caesar. You know what? Surprisingly, him and his team were en route to Antioch. Notice that there were three apostolic cities that the disciples that fled under the influence of persecution went to. Who still remembers? Three cities. Antioch was one of them. Cyprus was another. So there were three possible routes that you could take if your motivation was persecution. But there was only one route you could take if your motivation was an instruction. You could only arrive at Antioch. So the navigation, the missionary journey of these prophets actually signifies a map. You can see that God was doing something in spite of the chaos, which is what the news people would take. There was an orderly movement of God's initiation that was taking place in the land. And what God was doing was that he was moving his resources. He had a lot of resources and hardware installed in the Jerusalem church. Are you with me? Oh, you're not with me. He had military hardware. He had manpower hardware installed in Jerusalem church. And it was in the day of this cry that he began to move his hardware from where? From Jerusalem. And to establish his hardware where? In Antioch. Because Antioch was going to be the next apostolic destination. And the only thing that moved was that which God instructed. And so the religion did not move. The Judaism that was corrupting the church in Jerusalem did not move. What moved was that which was born by travail. And it moved, and his next destination was where? Was Antioch. There were a lot of things that the Bible said about Antioch. And there were a lot of things that Paul himself testified that about his missionary endeavors in Antioch. But in the book of Acts of the Apostles chapter 13, the Bible was so fortunate, God was so fortunate to us, by zooming in on one of the transactions that took place in Antioch. Most of my exegesis will be coming from that layout. I found wonderful things there. So many things happened in Antioch. So many encounters that Paul had. So many things that Paul did and he spoke about in the book of Acts of the Apostles and subsequent books. There were Antioch encounters. But Acts chapter 13 gives us a clear layout of one of their most favored encounters under God. Now, this was an occasion where the names of people in attendance were mentioned. The last time this happened was on the day of Pentecost. Now, it was like a roll call. Okay, if you check what happened on the day of Pentecost, it was like a roll call. Oh my, you're not with me. Good. Give me some sound. There is something happening in heaven. I'm disconnected from it. I feel it, but I can't touch it. And the link between me and that which is happening is a spiritual song. Because a spiritual song is a vehicle. It's a vehicle. It's a vehicle by which we can gain ascendancy to become participants of on that and in that which God has initiated in the heavenlies by possession of His Spirit. Hallelujah. So we need to hook up. Amen. Now give the keyboard some life so that we can begin to find the navigatory path to arrive at that place in the Spirit where this feast is taking place, so that we can move the service to that place. Hallelujah. It's a good thing for us to gather, but it's a better thing. Hallelujah. It's a good thing for us to gather in the natural, but it's a better thing when we all come to mark the register in heavenly places and we transmit from that point. Such is the witness that the body of Christ has been called to give to a generation that is facing severe crisis on earth. In the book of Acts of the Apostles, chapter 13, verse 1, the Bible says, now they were in Antioch, in the church in Antioch, that was at Antioch, certain prophets and teachers, as Barsabbas and Simeon, that was called Niger and Lucius of Cyrene and Manin, which have been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. Now, the last time this happened in the book of Acts of the Apostles was on the day of Pentecost. There was a roll call that was given. There was an inventory of people that were present. It was a day that all humanity will have to make reference to, because something was about to be born. A government, a change in regime, in the way God is going to be operating upon the face of the earth, was about to find expression. And it was worthy of note for inventory to be taken of everyone that was exposed to that environment. And there was an elaborate list of people present on the day of Pentecost. It was the day of change. Hallelujah. And right here, we see another list. This list is a bit shorter than the list that was written on the day of Pentecost to take inventory. Hallelujah. Now, let's take a look at that list and a little closely. The first thing I notice in this list is the mention of the city called Cyrene. Lucius of Cyrene. This was going to be the conclave, the circle, the arena, the government that will pioneer one of the greatest moves ever recorded in human history, orchestrated by the Spirit of God. They were going to manage a move of God. And this was the inner circle of pioneers around the table of the Lord when that feast will be served to humanity. And the Bible revealed that there was a young man there called Lucius of Cyrene. Now, please, let us check that list. How many people's village did they mention there? But Lucius of what? Cyrene. I'm trying to bring something up. Because Cyrene is part of the country we call Libya today. Libya. Lucius was an African. And when God was constituting an apostolic conclave that will manage revival to the Gentiles, a black man had to be in that committee. Lucius of what? Of Cyrene. Do you still remember Simon of Cyrene? You are not with me. I need to tell you about Simon of Cyrene. Let's not be in a hurry. We are at the verge of destiny. We have to interpret our destiny so that men can run and read it. After the flood, there were only three families left for God to deal with. Families of Shem, families of Ham, and the family of what? Of Japheth. And everything that happened after that time was based on that. Those three families. And it came to pass. Because the Bible says God did wonders in Psalms 105 verse 27. He did wonders in the land of Ham, that is Egypt. It means Ham was a black man. Ham is the father of the black people. Alright? And it was the same Ham that looked upon his father's nakedness and was excited. The rest came and covered his nakedness. And when the man came to himself, he promoted the last born, made him second, and he cursed Ham. Hallelujah. And so, all kinds of stuff, and little wonder Africa is so backward. When you go to Europe, you wonder if these people were created at the same time. The Chinese are as godless as we are, as a continent. But why is it that their own godlessness could translate to our own is Ezemo, 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 Ezemo? What do they call that Egu? That one that they make clothes for. In Egume? Eguafia, Eguafia. Ah, Jesus. A culture built around necromancy.
So you could see that Ham came into deep fraternity with darkness. And this is the result. Hallelujah. Until that day, when Jesus was sentenced to death, and the one that proclaimed his sentence was Pilate, and Pilate was Japhetic, a son of Japhet. And the Jews also sentenced Jesus to death, represented by the high priest. Is it not good for one man to die instead of a whole nation? So the sons of Shem had sentenced him to death. The sons of Japhet had sentenced him to death. And while he was going to be slain, then we now have this guy. I don't know how he got there. It was not his birthday. It was not, nothing was happening. They will now find Simon the Cyrenian. He was long gone from home. So you see why Lucius. God has respect for foundations. It was this Simon, the Cyrenian, that now carried that cross to Golgotha. Because Jesus was supposed to be the scapegoat. If he had died anywhere apart from outside of the walls of Jerusalem, his death wouldn't have satisfied the claims of divine justice. His death would have wasted. And there was this Simon from Cyrene. Why was that guy there? How did he come there? Those are strange questions. But there was only one family left that did not condemn Jesus to death. The sons of Ham. The one that loved Ezemo. The Ezemo people were present. And they were the only ones that did not sentence him to death. Instead, they became part of his sentence by bearing the cross to the nations. And that's why in the book of Hebrews chapter 13, according to the example of Simon the Cyrenian, the Bible recommends that every believer should go outside of the camp and bear the reproach of Christ. He was talking about Africa. Africa. There is a message that has not yet been preached. There is a song that has not yet been sung. It is the song of Africa. Moses sang a song that is registered in the archives of heaven. And someday, sometime in heaven, we will sing the songs of Moses. We don't know the tune. We don't even know the lyrics. But we will sing the songs of Moses. But it's not only Moses' song that will be there. Africa will sing a song. There's a slot for Africa. Because Simon the Cyrenian changed everything. So this world cannot come to an end until, you know, the white man brought us Christianity. But we need to take back the gospel. There are two different things. Christianity and what? The gospel. Simon the Cyrenian was not only willing that Jesus, he did not only accept that Jesus was being poorly treated, unjustly treated. He partook of the suffering and helped the great one get out to that place in Golgotha. Because of this action, when the conclave was being constituted of men that would, you know, manage the revival that would hit the conclave of the Gentiles, a man from Cyrene had to be part of the committee. And it was only him whose village was mentioned there. He came from where? From Cyrene. Does that? Currently, Africa is in focus in heaven. Currently, Africa. So any major event in Africa that gets the news is actually an indication that God is doing something we need to probe into. And currently, the church in Nigeria is on the spotlight. Reduce your volume. It's on the spotlight. Persecution. All kinds of things are beginning to happen. Because Nigeria is the firstborn of Africa in the program of God. And there will be an attempt to kill the firstborn, just like there was in Goshen, where God had to send a prophet
to reveal how that Israel was a corporate persona that occupied the place of firstborn among many nations that are called. Because not only Israel is called, we also are called as a nation. But Israel is the firstborn. God did not say only son. He said what?
Firstborn.
And just like Israel came under persecution, and God had to speak by the mouth of his prophet and say, if you don't let my people go, I will do what? I will kill your firstborn. The battle of Egypt was a battle of firstborns. And God retaliated in that day by killing the firstborn of Egypt. That was a straw that broke the camel's back. Because there was nobody to inherit the throne, there will be nobody to continue the fight. If Pharaoh dies, that was why he let the people go. In the battle of firstborns, let me be clear to you, men die. For those of you that have been attending prayer, I gave a parable, the season of the dew. It has come. I speak in parables. It's the season of what? Of the dew. We are going to follow the protocol that was followed in Egypt. And the words that were put in the mouth of Moses to go and tell Pharaoh. That is the word that should be in the mouth of every Nigerian right now. The firstborn of God in Africa cannot die. It is not his destiny to die. You know, Satan can come and say, I will kill you by 9 o'clock. But you know what? He cannot perform it. He's not giving unto him. So we see there's an attempt to strangle the firstborn. But the issues that pertain to the firstborn and the one unto whom the birthright will come, the issues that pertain to him, they are issues that heaven is emotional about. So emotional that they will come naked and kill. The mortals will come out of hiding to kill, because the issue pertains to what? Firstborn. Don't think it is by random selection that Nigeria has been chosen to be the one that will come under the influence and the strike of the rod of the Assyrian. They are calculated attempts. That man called Simon the Cyrenian, he opened a door of favor to the sons of Ham. And when the revival was about to start, a child from what? From Cyrene had to be represented, because a day will come where Africa will have to come upon the scene, and then the fullness of the protocol that was initiated by the obedience of Simon the Cyrenian will be demanded from Africa. And it is clear that God has preserved Nigeria to play that role of the firstborn of Africa, to bring perspective and direction. And that is why this is our time in focus. Look closely. The people that will turn the world around. You know, China technology, machines and industrialization for Germany. IT. Who is the king of IT now? India. Who is the king of medicine now? India. Yes, it's India. There is something we will take to the world that will reach deepest into its fabric. And this is our time of focus. We have been under incubation. The last was not told about the heavy burdens that we bore. The bodies made our knees to bend unto the God of the heavens. And the effect of that offering, the nations will have to taste. And so darkness saw that there was a potential that was being built in the corridors of Nigeria. And he decided at this point in time, it was carefully calculated. Marabouts were consulted to look into the possibilities of the stars to see that a time will come where they will become vulnerable, where Christians will be so vulnerable that when you slap, will run. But you know what? There are people that will run from persecution. But there are two bands that are born in the day of persecution. The ones that run from the weight of persecution and the ones that are born by the travail of Zion. As much as we weep, but our weeping is not a hopeless weeping. Because out of the ashes of our dying today, there will be the breaking of a brand new day. God will make a statement and a man child will be born. To take us further, we are going to do what Moses did, and we'll send a message to Pharaoh, not by email, not by text message, not by WhatsApp. This kind of message must be born on the lips of men. We'll take a message. A message. A message to Pharaoh. A message that pertains to the firstborn. Hallelujah. We'll take that message tonight. And as we go forth with that message, the host of heaven will travel with the message we release. You know, in order for the firstborn of God to come out, there were some elements that received, that manifested the judgment that came into the city. The water was turned to blood. All kinds of things happened. There were omens in the land. And all of those omens are omens that are indicative of bed pangs. All those omens, those 12 bed pangs. We don't have time today to see how each omen there actually points to a birth and a delivery. And when the time was come, there was blood. There was blood. You know, there must be blood and water. There was blood in Egypt. There had to be water outside. The people that were incubated in Egypt were born out of it. Hallelujah. Now, these guys, when they came out of Egypt, they had what it takes, the wisdom and the know-how to establish the influence of God upon the earth. Something's about to be born, but we need to take a message to Pharaoh, and that message must be proclaimed. Hallelujah.